Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Hero Israel, the Most High, our power is one. Let's prepare our hearts as we come before His presence on this wonderful and glorious day known as the Shabbat. for our hour in prayer. Women, with your heads covered. Standing, brothers, our hands uplifted, facing towards Jerusalem, the motherland. Father, which art in heaven, Kodesh Abba, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemaim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we need you today to bless your people and give them what they need to replace what they've lost during the week, whether it be the stamina, the strength, something has left their body. May it be replaced, may it be refueled, refreshed, refurbished today with the Ruach HaKodesh and through your Ruach. Bless the prophets that prophesy. May seed fall on good ground, and may we not be about ourselves as we proclaim your word. We thank you for Torah, Tanakh, the pistols, visions, dreams, Holy Spirit. And this day, let it do that it's supposed to do, because I know you watch over your word to perform it. May it be accomplished in the name of the Shah. And we know that no weapon formed against us can prosper as Israel. And every tongue that rises up against us, we have the authority to condemn, and we condemn it now. Cause those that are straddling the fence to choose a side together and understand that they must serve you wholeheartedly. We proclaim it, we proclaim victory. We know that greater is that's in us than anything in the world. In the name of Yeshua, we pray today. So be it. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by Almhoida here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the day that the Most High has made, and we are glad to be here and rejoice. Blueprint for Life, we strive to restore the moral fiber that has been taken away from our community because we made a choice. Our ancestors, our forefathers made a choice, and collectively we continue to abide in the choice that they made, that Deuteronomy 28 chapter warned us about. Choose to keep the culture and my commandments and reap the blessings. Choose not to abide in the culture that I've established for you and the commandments I've laid out for you and reap the curses. See that within our community, and we seek to relieve and alleviate the community of that by bringing them back to the culture which exists in the Torah and Tanakh, by letting our people know that we are the people of the book. We have a great diaspora. We spread throughout the four corners of the earth. That's why you see somebody that looks just like you or your cousin Pookie living in Belgium and Holland, Jamaica, England, Germany. We're all over the place. And he's going to gather us in due time and in the right season. But we must become the people that the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, that's right, called by his name, are you still being recognized by your slave master's name or an English name? If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and turn from their evil, wicked ways, their sins. And sin is nothing but transgression of the law. Almhoida, Blueprint for Life, we seek to deal with today solely is statutes, laws, and commandments, because that is our culture. That's who we are as a people. That's how we should conduct our lives. And that will help us to restore the moral fiber. So we're going to get into it today, and we won't be long today. We've got a lot of things that we're looking to accomplish on this day for the Most High. It's about this kingdom business, but we thank you for tuning in. Let's call somebody. Tell them right now that we are on the air. We have some time before we get to the lesson, but every aspect of it is something designed to minister to the Hebrews. That would be you, my brothers and sisters. All praises. So without further delay, I just want to welcome some of the brethren that are here to help us with the show and the lesson, and then get into the herb of the day, which is the Jama. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to, Brother D is out here, and Brother Joshua. Shalom to you, brothers. How y'all doing this morning?
Shalom, family. Shalom. How you brothers doing this morning, family?
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thinking the other day that, we're coming due. It's getting close to that. 2,000 years, and we come due. And Joshua was mentioned about the spiritual attacks. Brother V and I were talking about that the other day, and they do seem to be out there.
Yes, sir.
Brother D, we just trying to say hello to you. You just come on the show getting off deep. Good morning, Brother D. How you doing? Shabbat shalom.
Morning. Hey, no, I said hello, but there's a couple things I want to get out there real quick. Because you know, Brother D, once your velvet voice starts going, sometimes it's hard to break in.
Well, I'm gonna put you on mute today, so you won't have to worry about it.
I had to get one.
Brother K.R. is going to be with us today, but he's listening in. He's with a family in L.A. that's sick, so he's still with them. So he'll be joining us via live Facebook this month as well. Brother Joshua, what's going on with you down there?
Say that again, brother.
I said, what's going on with you? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Just doing well, trying to get these bills rallied up, get these boys together over here. You know, same old stuff, bringing in the Sabbath nice and easy. Ain't nothing much changed, man. Just, you know, walking it out, doing what I can, get my family to come around. That's it, man.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Walk it out. I wish I had that song down so I could play it.
Yeah. That's what you got to do, man. Walk this thing on out. It ain't going to get no easier.
It don't get easier, but it's a joyous walk, and we got a great reward awaiting us.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, well, we're going to keep pushing. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Tamar because I know I want to be able to get down there. I'll probably come by and see you so I can pick up the key so we can get in the building. I want to get down there early, but I also got to do a Bible study with some brothers here. So I want to go ahead and get going. All right, Sister Tamar.
All right, Shabbat shalom.
How are
you doing?
Shalom, sister.
This is the herbal segment. The segment is done every Tuesday during the Heart of a Hebrew Woman and every Shabbat. And so we bring this segment just to help our brothers and sisters. It's promoting the healing of our brothers and sisters' mind, body, and soul. And so today, the root or the herb is going to be valerian root. And valerian root has nutrients in it, such as calcium, iron, magnesium, niacin, potassium, vitamins A, B1, B2, B3, and C. It has no known drug interaction, which is good. But I selected this particular herb or root because we're getting in part two of spiritual warfare. And a lot of times our people deal with anxiety, you know, anxiety of what's to come, whether it's bills, their jobs, just a plethora of things. You know, our brother's getting shot in the street. There's so much anxiety and nervous tension. People are having a hard time sleeping and just generalizing stress, combating all of what's going on in the world, oftentimes come into our homes. And then we create an atmosphere in our homes that is full of stress. And so valerian root is good for that. It helps with all those things I mentioned, anxiety, nervous tension, insomnia, and it helps with stress. It's good for fatigue. It's good for women when they're menstruating, their cramps, muscle spasms. It's also good for irritable bowel syndrome. Fevers, colds, heartburn, hangover, stress, arthritis, acne, ulcers, dandruff, and pain. So it's a potent root. But during this time of dealing with these different spirits that oftentimes attack us when we're not covered, we have to put on our full armor and make sure that we're able to combat these spirits. But there's a lot of our brothers and sisters that are unable to do so. So definitely pick up some valerian root. You can find it in Sprouts, Whole Foods, some of your herbal stores. You know, one thing I just saw, Brother V, that's streaming right now is they have almost every highway in Chicago full of our people. They're doing a protest right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the details are because I didn't see a whole lot. But it just baffles me that so many of our people are still asleep. They're getting with the masses of these other nations and causing these walkouts, these protests, thinking that that's going to help them. But at the end of the day, it's the Sabbath. Our people should be at home lifting up praises up to the Most High and not getting to the fields and the streets and doing handling their business, because this is not our homeland. So I definitely want to send up prayers to our brothers and sisters that are still asleep, prayers for our brothers and sisters that are in this walk that may be struggling right now. We are being attacked. I definitely want to encourage men and women, brothers and sisters, to pray for the leader, the ones that the Most High has called to be that light in this time, because they are getting attacked as well. Elder V all week was dealing with, you know, people, and it's just so much going on, and people are afraid because they don't know who to turn to. They're looking for something more tangible, something they can touch or someone they can reach out to. But we're in the hour where we need prayer. This anxiety and nervous tension and everything will increase if you don't have a relationship with the Father. So I just wanted to say that because that was on my heart as Brother B was praying just now, that there's just so much that's going on that we need each other, but we have to remain healthy. We have to remain vigilant and pray. Prayer is the key. You want to add on something like that? So I just want to encourage you guys, as you see people in the streets, as you see our brothers and sisters that may be struggling with their weight, with these ailments, go out to them, teach to them, talk to them, provide some of these herbal remedies that we give every Tuesday, every Shabbat, and encourage them through, you know, herbing, fasting, and praying, and a lifestyle change that they can be healed as well and walking in these statutes, laws, and commandments. So that's what this segment is about. To encourage our brothers and sisters to be healthy during this time and make sure they're making the necessary changes with their eating and what they drink. All right? You want to do announcements? Okay, with that said, I'm going to go ahead and go into the announcements. Every Tuesday, Most High Willing is the Heart of a Hebrew Woman. We went into spiritual warfare against women, you know, dealing with the man trying to control the woman and trying to bring strife into the home by utilizing the woman. So we talked about that a little bit. This week, Most High Willing, we're going to talk about busybodies, women that are out there just stirring up trouble. And I know this is a women's segment, but oftentimes there's men, effeminized men, that's also being busybodies, working with the women to cause confusion. So we, Most High Willing, we're going to talk about that this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, we have Inspirational Wednesday with Brother V and Deacon Abraham at 8 a.m. And then Most High Willing will be back here on the Shabbat at 10 a.m. We'll also be meeting every Saturday at 2 p.m. Well, I'm sorry, NorCal Fellowship will be meeting every Saturday at NorCal Hebrew Fellowship. We'll be meeting every Shabbat. What time? 2 p.m. in Oakland.
344 20th Street.
I don't know the address.
Keep going.
And we invite our brothers and sisters to come out and just come fellowship with us as we prepare and get ready for these high holy days that are coming up. So with that said, I'll turn it back over to you.
That's right. We're moving into our fall feast, and our high holy days are coming up in the fall, and I'm looking forward to that.
Before you go, I know you gave them the address. They're probably going to need particulars on, you know, what to do when they get there, because, you know, they just can't walk in.
That's correct. So those who are invited or would like to fellowship, definitely messenger us on Be the Preacher to Matara on Facebook and just send us a message, contact us, and we will let you in.
In other words, you have to RSVP.
Correct.
So go to our Facebook page, go to the NorCal Hebrew Fellowship page, or you can also go to the Be the Preacher page. RSVP, you must let us know that you are coming, so that we can let you into the building. All right. So with that being said, let's go ahead and prepare for the reading of the law. Brother D, did you get the text message I sent you? We're going to Exodus, the 21st chapter, starting at the 12th verse.
Okay, Exodus, 21st chapter, starting at the 12th verse. You know, I did just see that. Hold on, one. If you give me a second here. I've got it, but I want to go back and look at this real quick. Okay, so we want to go... Exodus, the 20th chapter, 21st chapter.
21 and 12, today we're dealing with one of the commandments that's in the Word, that thou shall not kill, which is definitely within the Big Ten, which is a part of the moral law. So we're going to go back to where it was written when the whole of the law was given. And we find that in Exodus 21 and 12, because this is something that's imperative for our people, our community, our culture, to stop the black-on-black crime. So let's go ahead. It's in your hands.
Exodus 21, starting at verse 12. Mm-hmm. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Mm-hmm. 13. And if a man lie not in wait, if a man lie not in wait, but you shall deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place within he shall flee, whether he shall flee. 14. But if a man presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And you see that happening nowadays, people killing their parents. I mean, I don't see how it would do that. A person can do that because, I mean, no matter how mad you get, but that's what those demons will have you doing.
That's right. And I want to say something. Mm-hmm. Let's go, Brother D, to the first one you read. That is capital punishment right there. In Hebrew, in Israel, if you killed, you were killed. If you killed, you were killed. Ain't none of this sitting out in death row. That was part of the law. Now, we are in captivity. We abide under the laws of the land, but that is the way of our culture. And that's sometimes when we have to handle our own business, that's what we do. People will be much more thoughtful before they pull that trigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Let them know. So we, when we get within our community, we need to deal with our community. I'm just letting it be known. Hey, brother, if you do that, it's going to be held back. But go ahead, brother.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's no coming back from it. You know, you take a life, you're not coming back from that. You can't change that. 16. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. That's kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. That's human trafficking.
Go ahead. 17.
Yeah, that's human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, they're putting you to death, for cursing them. I mean, you haven't killed them, but like I said, that's why they're stuck for the elders. We don't see that a lot today. I was talking to someone the other day about that, the respect for elders. It's just not there.
18.
Brother
Josh, you
want
to say something?
No. I'm just agreeing with what the brother's saying. You see that a lot now.
The funny thing is, I guess a lot is because you remember when we came up, Brother V, it was yes sir, yes ma'am, Mister this, Mister that, but now even the elders say, let's call me by first name, so things just kind of get out of order. Because instead of showing that respect from the start, that's out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 18. And if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed. If he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pray for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed.
Mm-hmm.
20. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his head, he shall be surely punished. And that was something they did all the time when we were in slavery here in this country. But, the Hebrews are so cheap, they just go get another one.
Mm-hmm.
21. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge at the judges determine. 23.
So, do you understand that means that if a man causes a woman to lose a child through abuse, and, you know, domestic violence and different things like that, we took our people before the court of law, and that had to be repaid. And then I want to say something about all this talk we see in the law about servants. That is applicable in this sense. If you have employees, people that work for you, if you're someone's subjugator, then the Most High tells you how you're supposed to treat them. One thing we do know is that the Edomites and our bosses, they don't treat us right on these jobs. We're currently living in a new form of slavery. And so when we see this servant thing, that's how we transfer it and make it applicable to our current times. It's how we treat those we labor with or work underneath us. And believe it or not, Israel, we should be business owners. This is the area we're striving to go into. We're, as we come awake to the commandments and we move into the blessings, we no longer will just be under the auspices of saying we're the tail, not the head. Abba does want to bless the healers to be bosses and to be able to have their own business. Because when you wake up and you're keeping these commandments and laws, the curses are being repealed off of you. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, because I was going to say at the end of the day, that's how you establish, even in your captivity, that's how you establish some degree of autonomy. When you can establish your own business and shut it down on the Shabbat and have your people working for you and have them abiding in this law.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm glad you said about your own business. Hold on, Brother P. I'm glad you said that about your own business because a lot of brothers get frustrated and say, man, I can't get the Shabbat off. And I think if you can't find another job, stay there, but work on starting a business so that you can be autonomous.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
And that's the importance of following these laws, statutes, and commandments so that those curses will be peeled off of you, and that you can do something successful. Because there are a lot of black people out there or Hebrews out there starting businesses that are just not working. They're still in them curses. They are not following the laws, statutes, and commandments.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I got distracted for a moment. Where are we at? Let's see.
Number 23.
Yes, sir. Okay. 23. Any mischief follow then, thou shalt give life for life. 24. An eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You know, we've heard that this verse since we were children. 25. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You get as you give.
Mm-hmm.
26. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. 27.
Mm-hmm.
If he smite out of his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. 28.
Okay.
If an ox gore a man or a woman, they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. Meaning, you know, he won't be held responsible. 29. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he had killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So you have there are consequences.
Yeah, so it's like, and people got to understand, too, ox was a major source of income for our people during our pastoral days. So if your ox gored somebody, you had to make a decision. Either I'm going to stone this ox and free myself of this debt that it caused this man, or I'm going to let it live
And then if it kills somebody else, then I got to die and the ox. So that was a big decision.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's, compare that to today, where you see a lot of places where companies are doing things they know are unsafe. They're putting their workers at risk, but they don't care because they're making money. And in this day, when they find out, hopefully you can sue them. But that's how it is. That's how it happens now. Okay, 30. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. 31. Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment, shall it be done unto him. 32. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. 33. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. 35. And if one man's ox hurt another's, then that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. 36. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to punish in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own.
And the whole tribe will have oxtails that night. Hallelujah.
There you go.
All praises to the Most High for oxtails. I'm going to have to get me some, boy. That's all I'm saying. All right. All praises to the Most High for the reading of the law. When we come right back, take a quick minute break. We're going to get into part two of Understanding Satanic Strategies. Pick it up.
I'm
Tisdale. He's passed on, moved on, but that song is a wonderful song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. High Springs. Let's get into this, because I'm not going to be long-winded. I just want to give something as it pertains to last week. I got into part one of Understanding Satanic Strategies. Understanding Satanic Strategies, part one, where we broke down a lot of things about the testament of Paul, what happened to him when he went up into the third heaven, got into Enoch, the 15th chapter. Howbeit, though, I'm being mindful of the fact that on the Sabbath, we're not to actually, and let me say this. Some of the things I did last week I shouldn't have done, because on the Sabbath, we don't want to call on the names of certain demons. It's called their name. You're not supposed to do that. So we want to stay away from that. So today I'm not going to get into the book of Enoch, because I wanted to go to Enoch, the 10th chapter, because last week we got into Enoch 15, and it helped us to understand the worship demons would come from. But what's happening is that we're going to stray away from that. Most high willing, on Wednesday, I will get into Enoch, the 10th chapter, and I will give you a breakdown on the names of the 12 watchers, what they did, and also about Lilith. A lot of people don't know about Lilith. They think she didn't exist, the possibility that she was created for Adam. She's spoken of in the book of Isaiah, and she's spoken of in the Apocrypha. And I'm going to get into that on Wednesday as well. So I'll expound more, because this lesson is not just about the strategies for possession, but this lesson also deals with this little series that I'm dealing with also deals with spiritual warfare, how to discern spirits, how to resist spirits, how to bind spirits, how to drive out spirits, and how to intercede for other people against spirits and demons that they may be wrestling with. We put on the weapons of our warfare. We put on the full armor. Well, there's a reason why we're putting it on, because we've been called to be disciples that can bring deliverance to our people. And I think we're learning precepts, but we're not learning and understanding what we're to do in the spiritual warfare and how to bring deliverance. First thing Yeshua did when he went into the garden, he asked the demons inside the man, "What is your name? How many of you are there?" And he said, "Come out, every one of them." You know, so say the demon's name is Russell. You say, "Hey, Russell, you got to go." So you need to understand these things and the different works. We're not ignorant to Satan's devices. We cannot be ignorant to Satan's devices. And not too many people understand or are qualified to deal with this, because they're still wrestling with demons themselves. And, you know, all this stuff that's in the air, the anxiety and the stress and pressure, these are portals and gateways that we talked about last week that lead to demon possession. It can cause you to begin to take drugs, alcohol, get into illicit sex, seek relief from an outside spiritual source. You know, and we don't want to do that, because we're living in a very spiritual climate right now, and we're living in the midst of spiritual warfare. So I'm going to just get into somewhat of a different aspect of it today. Let's see. Like I said, we won't do Enoch. We're going to cover various scriptures that will allow us to just kind of expose demons based upon various precepts, and then we'll get into some scriptures that will help us to end this particular lesson on a victorious note. First one I want to bring out today, this morning, is 1 John 4:4. It says, "You dear children are from Yah and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And that clearly states that greater is that that's inside of us than everything in the world. We know that the whole world, the earth, has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. Satan is the prince and power of the air. We see that and understand that by understanding that even after Yeshua was weak and hungry, after a 40-day fast, he took him to the highest mountain and showed him all the kingdoms on this flat earth. And said, "I'll give you all this if you'll worship me, praise me." He tried to get him to show off a little bit too, turn the rocks into stone, but he refused to give in to that. 1 Timothy 4:1. And I'm just going to go through these precepts, brothers, and if you have something you want to add, feel free to come in. I'm not going to do a lesson on a chapter like that. I'm just hitting various precepts. So at any time, if you have one, feel free to come on in and add to what I'm speaking on. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Wow, this is big. The reason this is big is because some of our own people are teaching metaphysical doctrine, teaching on things that are akin to the New Age movement, and also being taught in the Church of Satan, in the Church of Scientology, and being taught in the Mormon Church. So we have to watch out. What we're doing is we're getting away from the commandments, the gospel, the Torah, when we start to use slick, suggestive ways of trying to appeal to the world. And that's what we're doing, because the whole world is dancing to another beat. And so we're trying to borrow from the world's beat to draw people into us and make it appealing. If the gospel, if the words of Yah does not draw you, you're not going to stay anyway. So that's a very seductive and seducing type of doctrine. It's like there was this moment in the Christian church where they had everybody on the floor shaking, laughing, and saying, that's the Holy Spirit right there. That's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. No, they're following deceiving spirits. We must always remember that Hashatan said in Isaiah the 14th chapter through his 5-point plan, I will be worshipped just like the Most High. I will be just like the Most High. And he has achieved that, and we don't even realize that. Let me tell you something. Sunday worship Christian church. If you're going to church on Sunday, you're Catholic. That's right. Yeah. You are part of the idolatry of the Catholic Church. It's loaded with idolatry. If you are worshiping solely, S-O-L-E-L-Y, if you're worshiping solely on Sunday, yeah, you're part of a false doctrine, the Catholic Church, a deceptive doctrine, and you're caught up into heliocentrism. You're worshiping the sun, and it's just a false doctrine. And you need to be aware of that. Because, see, that's how subtle Satan is with his seducing. Something someone wanted to add.
For those that don't believe that, ask yourself, when you look at the Pope, why did he have on the fish, his hat is for the fish god Dagon. Why does he have a hexagram on the side of his hat? Why does he have a wand or a lightus in his hand? These are all symbols of satanic worship, which go back to the sun god, like you said.
And they like to put it in your face like that. That's nothing. That's not unusual.
Absolutely, Brother Joshua. That Dagon is the same. I believe the Dagon symbol is the same symbology that they're using at Starbucks. Am I correct?
Could be. Yeah, I'm not sure on that. But yeah, I mean that fish god is mentioned in the scriptures. That was the ancient god of the Philistines.
Right. Absolutely.
The fish god. Yep.
So, all of you out there listening, remember that while you're drinking your mocha frappuccino latte with extra foam. For 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age hath blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of Yah. And now you need to understand, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them. There are gods. Don't tell me what you're doing for God and blah, blah, blah. You might not be able to see because there's another God that has blinded your mind. See, folks, what I'm trying to get you to understand today, part two, is the reality of demonic activity and how you must have on your warfare every day when you go down. And this is why many people can't see certain doctrines, and we say it's common sense. What's wrong with you? Because common sense cannot be common to the blind. You just can't see it. The scales have to be removed through the working and giftings of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way the scales can be removed. All praises to the Most High. Let's keep it moving. Next one I want to hit up is James 2 and 19. This is humble. I love this one right here. You believe that there is one Yah? James said, good for you, because even the devils believe and quit. You think you something because you believe? They got more faith than you because they know from which they came from, and they're trembling, wondering when their time is going to be over. So what they're trying to do is they don't want to be destroyed alone. They want to take you with them because misery loves company. Satan knows he's not going to win. Satan is lying to the elite and the Freemasons and those in power to make them believe we can overturn this, take this back, and win by default. First thing we need to do to win by default is destroy all the Hebrews so that Yasha has nothing to come back for. And is he pointing? Yes! That's why two-thirds will be destroyed. Only a third of the remnant are going to make it. Why? Because he prophesied to Father Abraham that your seed, a third, a remnant, will make it. It's not because you good. It ain't because you keeping the commandments. Because we all got sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of Yah. You ain't nobody. You're not perfect. The demons know he real, and they're trying to make sure you don't make it by keeping sin active in your life.
Brother V, can I read a script here that kind of points out what's going on today?
Just go ahead, read it.
Okay, I'm at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines and devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. And that's what's happening now. A lot of people are being, they have itchy ears. They're being swayed to and fro from different doctrines. And like I said, no matter what the doctrine is out there, the religion out there, you're going to find the Hebrew up in it.
Mm-hmm. And well, we're in the process of, can you find a scripture for me real quick? We're in the process of people ever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. That means there's always going to be some new information. That's why I'm not impressed when, you know, these young brothers breaking off into other brand new camps, tumbling, oh, we just got a new revelation. Man, you kill it. There's only one revelation I need, and that is repent and keep the laws and commandments and pray that you make it in. Okay? And Solomon said that at the end of the day, fear Yah and keep his commandments. I don't need to hear all your revelations, all that stuff. Matter of fact, I love revelations. I love to break it down. I love to explain. I love Revelation 22:14. I love all that. But at the end of the day, everything that's going to be happening in Revelations, I pray that I'm in the wilderness being protected and not even having to worry about that.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Yes. Keep my focus. 2 Timothy 3 and 7 says, let me read it. 6 says, for of the sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that was Janus and Jambres who withstood Moses. So what they're saying is the majority of the women in the house who don't want to be subject to any man, because of Isaiah, the 3rd chapter, told us in the last days that women and children would rule over us. They're the ones that are constantly looking for, let me relegate it to today's times. They're the women on Facebook talking about, I need a word. You know how they say that. I need a word. No, you need to submit yourself, humble yourself, keep the commandments, and put your head wrap on. That's what you need to do.
And stop
listening to these brothers bringing this new doctrine.
I was just going to say, at the end of the day, 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, the God of this world hath blinded in the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of HaMashiach, who is the image of Yah, should shine unto them. So Satan is blinding them. The God of this world is blinding them to the truth of the light on the right-hand side. Satan's just a light bearer. Lucifer just means light bearer. He's a light bearer on the left-hand side. But Christ is the bright morning star sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. So people think they got knowledge and understanding and light, you know, like you're saying, with all of these different doctrines. They just illuminated on the left-hand side. They're on the wrong side of the equation.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's right.
And this is the apostasy that the people don't understand is happening all over the place. The Christian church likes to say the apostasy is us Hebrews waking up because we leave in the Christian church. Y'all crazy.
Right.
The apostasy is actually what my brother just broke down for you, because you're worshiping the God of this world. So don't give me no gospel. No, he said, love not the world nor the things of the world. Why? Because of the scripture he read in 2 Corinthians, that there's a God that rules this world. And last week, I don't know if y'all remember, I brought out Daniel 21, how Daniel prayed but didn't get the answer for 21 days because the God, there was a demon called the Prince of Persia that had like a mini firmament blocking answers, blessings. Sometimes I feel stagnated because there's a strong demon that won't let your prayer come through, your blessing, your miracle come through. In Daniel 21, the angel helped fight the demon to bring the answer in the prayer, bring it through. There are demon activity in the atmosphere that blocks blessings from the people of Yah. I'm talking about real quick. The apostle. Hold on,
there's a lot of noise in the background.
Okay, hold on. The apostasy that I'm talking about is 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There it is right there. That's exactly what we're talking about with 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and all of that.
Brother V.
Go ahead.
Didn't I just read that one?
Yeah, you did read that. But you call my name like it's a forest fire somewhere. Brother V.
That's why.
All right, let's keep it pushing. Let's see. Let's go to the next one, which is Job 4 and 15. This.
You say Joel or Job?
Job chapter 4, verse 15. This reminds me of my wife, but she says this all the time. She talks about this because she be talking about, you know, I saw something, all that kind of stuff. Listen to what Job said in 4 and 15. Let me read it from here because some of this stuff is coming up, New King James Version, and it's changing the way it reads because this particular one reads a little bit different. So give me 1 second to pull that. If one of y'all have it, you can read it. Where's it at?
I have just regular King James, 4 and 15. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up.
That's it. That's it. Job said, I felt a demon go by me, and the hairs on my arm stood up. People don't think that stuff is real when they tell you that. Demons up in your house because you got trinkets that shouldn't be there. You got TV shows that shouldn't be on. You're playing music you shouldn't play. Your mind is meditating on things it shouldn't be meditating on because you're not casting down imaginations, and you're inviting demons. The demons on the outside are trying to get inside of you, and if he can get you to connect with that thought or begin to lust with that thought or to begin to rape that woman you're looking at on TV in your mind, spirit will overtake you. Job said a demon, a spirit went by me and the hairs on my arm stood up. This is what we deal with every day, people. We're in a spiritual warfare. Every time you walk out your door, some of y'all are in your house. Them demons ain't allowed in my house. They try to come in, but we get them out quick. I know when me and my wife first got together, I threw away all kind of little trinkets and statues and stuff. I'm like, get these little white baby Jesus angels out of here. You know, you need to go through your house and look at the pictures, the posters, the lamps. These people have made things unto their gods, and you're binding some of that like that, little African masks and all those things, and you're bringing them into your home. Be very mindful.
But
let's remember.
Brother V, they're cute, though. They're good decorations.
I'll send them over to your house.
I'm good.
Matthew 8 and 31. We already talked about this story. The demons begged. If you're going to do this, please send us to the pigs. At least the pigs. At least the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had the ability to hear these spirits talk. I'm not going to go into my testimony today, but I have been in a situation where I was near death because I was in sin many, many, many years ago. And at that point of death, I could literally hear demonic spirits laughing at me like, we got you. We told you we were going to kill you. We got you. Because they wanted to thwart my purpose in the earth. Because the demons know who you are better than you know who you are. Did not the demons, mm-hmm. Acts, the 19th chapter, tell the seven sons of Sceva, Paul, I know. You know, and did say, Jesus, I know. And you don't know. Okay, let's go to Acts 19. You got me jumping around. Let's get it. Acts the 19th chapter. Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva. And it said, and in 19 and 15, it said, and the evil spirit answered and said, Yeshua I know, and Shaul I know. Who the hell are you? They come to cast the demons out. The demons start talking to them saying, you don't have no power with the Father. I don't even see no anointing on you. I don't even see the Ruach in you. We're not afraid of you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And then after the demon said that, he beat down all seven men physically till they were bloodied and bruised. This is what we're dealing with,
Brother
people.
B. Yeah, verse 13 shows they didn't have faith because what they said was that we adjure you by Yeshua whom Paul preacheth. They had no faith in themselves. They didn't have the rocks themselves. They're trying to go off of what Paul did.
Well, it's not even just alone the fact that they didn't have faith. They didn't have the authority to be doing that. They didn't have a relationship with the Father. They were just trying to copy something they saw because they love the sensationalized aspect of casting out demons. This is the same thing that Simon the Sorcerer did when he saw Paul casting out demons. He wanted to buy that power because Simon the Sorcerer was a demon. He was the modern day during that time. Simon the Sorcerer was the modern day Genentech, Gilead, Bear. In other words, Simon the Sorcerer was making potions to bewitch the people. Same thing your drug companies, that's what I just call drug companies, they're doing today. Did you all know that America is the only country that makes generic medicines and other medicines that other countries don't even allow? Other countries don't even play drug commercials on TV. It's banned. They test all that stuff on us. We are the only country that's drug-induced and bewitched, and the drugs help them with their sorcery and their MKUltra and their movies and their music and their TV because America, Babylon, is bewitched. This is a corporation of business state over here. But I was amazed to find out that we're the only country that a lot of these drugs and chemicals are used and practiced upon the people because they do not care about you. You're a number. You're a social security number, and you're traded on the stock market. Let's keep it going. The next one is Matthew 12 and 45. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. We brought that out last week, the fact that Satan will constantly try you to get back in once you've gotten him out of your life. And if he is able to get in, he will gather seven more demons, and your last state will be worse than the first. I've had to deal with that this week, literally listening to a couple just fighting on the telephone, trying to, stop it. And I could hear the demonic activity inside the home to the point where actually the police did come, and the brother said, I'm ready to die. And he asked the police to shoot him. I'm telling you that testimony because I want y'all to let y'all know how real I was. I had to actually start praying over the phone and rebuke death because the brother told me, they're at my door. and I'm getting ready to ask him to kill me. I want to die. And I don't know what – I don't think he's dead. I think he's in jail. I don't – you know, they did pick up the phone, and the police officers, and talked to me. I told them I'm a minister. And they told me I could kind of follow up. But his plan was for them to come in and kill him. The demons had taken him over because I could hear it in his conversation and in his rage over the phone and what he was doing to the young lady. And she also was in dealing with some witchcraft and sorcery. And Satan actually came in and tried to kill them and destroy them in a moment, in one split second. When I was able to finally get him back on the phone, he answered the phone. The first thing came out of his mouth was that there's getting ready to be death by suicide. They're at the door. I'm letting them in. And as soon as he opened the door, he said, kill me. Shoot me. And we know that we see on the news every day now how they don't hesitate to kill a Hebrew man when he says that and he's threatening them and talking irate like that. And I really believe that I had to be there. I really believe that the prayers to Yah stopped that from happening because there was nothing to stop them from killing that man. And those demon spirits were raging on him. I need you people to understand that this is serious. That's why Al Moyda, we take a different approach. We believe in deliverance. We believe in casting out demons and seeing our people transformed and changed into better people because we're supposed to emulate the image of Yah. We should have Christ shining from our face. And I'm praying for my Hebrews that they get to that point to where this is not just a fact. This is not just the thing to do, but this becomes your life and you're in it and your hands are on the plow and you refuse to turn back, look back, go back. Don't be like Lot's wife. You will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. Revelations 20 and 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning fire, sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know that, yeah, that stuff that's coming up out of Hawaii. That's where them folks are. Yeah. That every time I see that, do y'all see what Yah is doing to America? There's like 26 states on fire. They can't put the fires out.
Yeah, I seen that.
Nobody's paying attention to the judgment that's taking place. Wow. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10 and 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Yah. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. See, nobody's emphasizing all these scriptures about demons and devils. Gentiles are sacrificing to devils. Their food, their church services on sun worship day, the things they do, the human trafficking.
These kids coming up missing. Yeah.
Thank you. You're right on point. That's what I was about to say. It's not just getting the organs. They also killing them because they have to get power with these demons. And they found out that they get power with these demons. Some of the elite have seen the manifestation of these demons, which is why they are so convinced that Satan is the God, the only God that exists. The Freemasons most people don't believe. They think our Yah is a fairy tale. They're like, man, y'all still believe that stuff, that fairy tale? There's only one God, real God in this world, and it's Satan. And if you serve him, you'll get wealth. That's what Jay-Z's telling the kids.
Why do you think that the Most High was against us sacrificing our kids? Because he knew it would give these demons power.
That's right. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Most High and the cup of devils. Woo! Let me pause for a second. Let's get into that. Mm. Can't serve two gods. Can't serve that money. Can't serve that job.
Yeah.
You can't be kicking it with the world and having, you know what? You can't be having champagne toast with the world about worldly things.
Right.
And then want to come on the Shabbat and kick it with the brothers and have communion to the Most High, breaking bread and drinking wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got to watch. You got to be careful. You have to be careful with that, too, because before you know it, some heathen or whatever has got you in a situation where you're doing that. You're toasting something you shouldn't be toasting, or you're getting into something you shouldn't be getting into. So we have to be ever vigilant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have to watch the subtlety. So you can't drink the cup of the world. So that has, if you really say la and think about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, do a say la and check yourself and see, like, have I been drinking and partaking of the cup of the world? It's success. It's blood. It's wine. You know, are you drinking too much, period? Let's get this hen doggy dog. Let's pull out some for those who ain't here. You know, let's turn up. Come on. You know, we split all of our gatherings, which is why on the high holy days and all praise most high, the fall feasts are coming. We like to drink wine with the brews, and it's unto Yah as a sacrifice. But when you see Puffy and Jay-Z and them, they all got their, what's that champagne? They got the Ciroc, and they got the Cristal, and they dancing, they just turning up. Yeah, that's the cup of the world. They like, let's do our thing unto Satan because life is good. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
This is the joy right now.
Serving mammon.
There you go. You cannot be partakers of the Most High's table and the table of devils. Brothers and sisters, you have to make a clear distinction of who you're serving. The lines of demarcation must be drawn. You must be on one side or the other. You can't play hopscotch with the Most High. You need to stand and declare and live it and be bold. And be proud and say, I don't need that. Some of you Hebrews actually miss the club, the strip club, the Cristal. Y'all miss it. Y'all miss the turn up. I don't miss none of that death, hell, and destruction. It led to nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Can I get one in? 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Yahweh Shah HaMashiach, that as ye have received of us how ye outwalk to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by Yahweh Shah HaMashiach. For this is the will of Yah, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not Yah. You know, and that goes into as well of sexual fornication. We're talking about spiritual fornication. You know, and like the brother saying, you got to pick a side, man. You can't be on both sides of the coin. You can't be out in the club, you know, on Saturday, Monday through Friday, sleeping with multiple men or women and, you know, using all type of drugs and then think you're going to go to church on Sunday and be like, oh, I'm sanctified, I'm saved. No, it don't work
right.
Like that.
Right.
Same side.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Real talk. I want to get into this conversation with you brothers and some other people, maybe some other time, but I'm going to bring it up right now. There's some people that don't believe soul ties are real. They said the church taught us that, and that's a lie. I personally do believe you can pass on these demons and soul ties through sex. I believe it. I know a brother who I talked to, a brother who started having sex with this woman who's supposed to be, see, he a Hebrew, but he a halfway Hebrew, you know. And I keep telling brothers, you can't play with this stuff. You can't be like, I'm in and still going to the club or hitting different multiple women and doing that stuff. He found out later that the woman, after he started having sex with her, was seeing palm readers, doing tarot card readings, seeing a psychic, a mystic. She might look good and all that, and you saying that the sex is good, but you found out later after you already hit it that she has exposed herself to demons and demon activity, and now you can't even find out who the hell you are because she's been passing spirits on to you. You sitting at her feet worshiping. Medusa then got your butt.
Yes, sir.
Jezebel then got you. And you didn't do your due diligence and bring her into the truth. You decided to lay with her and swap spit. Well, you swap DNA and you swap blood and you swap demons. I believe in it. I think you're not going to tell me that's not real. That's why the Bible says two shall become one flesh. Go ahead, Joshua.
I was just going to say, you think these people who trafficking all these children and performing sex rituals with these children,
right,
ain't doing that to conjure up demons, and at the same time, you don't think that you can pass demons on from one person to another. That's why the scripture says you try the spirit. You know what I'm saying? You got to try somebody's spirit before you even get to a level where you can be comfortable laying, or even being around them, not just laying down with them, but where you can even be comfortable being around them. Because at the same time, you know, I mean, it's crazy because, like, these people are doing this out in the open. They have sex rituals. Like, I forget what, I think it was called Pizzagate. If you look that up, man, they was having sex with little kids. What do you think they was doing that for? When they go to these Bohemian Groves, what do you think they doing out there? They performing sex magic because that's how these demons get conjured up. And so, yeah, you can pass on spirits like that, man. You can pass on spirits like that for sure.
Well, you know, and those guys over in the Bohemian Grove, you know, they're doing this to gain the power of this world. I mean, that's what they're after.
Right.
We're trying to gain the kingdom, but this is their heaven. They want as much power that they can get in this world. If they get it through demons, so be it.
Yeah, Aleister Crowley broke down that sex magic, and you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
They do these sex rituals to conjure up demons, so don't tell me you need a precept to prove there's spirits and demons that have passed on in sex. I don't need no damn... I'm sorry, I don't mean to say it like that. I'm upset because there's a major preacher and a lot of preachers that are preaching this that, no, I don't believe you can have the same spirit. So, no, I don't want to hear that. That's why the two could become one flesh when they do it right. You know, I told that brother, like, me and my wife finish each other's sentences. I say the same thing at the same time. What you think that is?
Hey, listen, there's a temple, like you bring up Aleister Crowley. There's a temple.
Mm-hmm.
He ran an organization called Ordo Templis Orientis. Now, they have one right down here in Oakland on, I believe it's on 8th Street in Oakland. They have one of those temples. You can go to their website, and they'll tell you that they practice sex, like orgies and all of these different acts of sex to try and conjure up spirits. This is on their website right here in Oakland. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and
we can be naive to that if we want, but this is what they do. They do this for real. This ain't no joke with them.
Yeah.
If I can say something, too, if you can believe that, you know, you can get involved with Ouija boards, you can go palm reading, all this stuff, and that's a portal to you, what would make you think that because you're joining another person like this in sex, that that's not another portal for those demons to get to you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's just you
opening
up an avenue for them to get to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. I'm trying to read which one I'm getting ready to go to. Let's get Second Peter 4 and 10. For if Yah spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be resolved.
Brother B, you said Second Peter?
Brother D, you all right over there?
Well, no, because you said 2 Peter 4, but there is no 2 Peter 4.
2 Peter 2, verse 4.
Okay, all right, 2. Okay, you said 4. That's why you had me confused. Okay.
All right, 2 Peter verse 4. For if Yah spared not the angels that sinned, cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Let me pause right quick. Noah wasn't teaching and doing precepts. He was preaching. He was halal. He was making known. Something's coming. Something will happen. I better prepare. Prepare you the way. Repent. Repent. We need to understand that as well. He's a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked because he was immersed. You understand that goes back to what Brother Joshua just said? Not just sex, but being around people that ain't right. there was a vexation on Lot because he was deeply immersed into Sodom and Gomorrah and had to get delivered. Vexed by filthy conversation. Y'all hear that, people out there? Cooler talk, locker room talk, guy talk, girl talk.
Yeah.
Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. This is how we feel about, this is why we can't wait till the Sabbath get here. Because we'd be around the wicked all day long. Verse 9, the Most High knoweth how to deliver the godly temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, which means the laws. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. What did I want to say? I'm trying to capture my thoughts. Anybody got something they want to say? Oh, Enoch, the 10th chapter, Most High willing, when I get there Wednesday, it's going to explain how these major watchers and demons are trapped underneath the earth, and science and the world is trying to bring them out through these CERN machines and release them. They're trying to combat and go against the Most High. They'll be released. The book of Revelations tells us that Abaddon, the pit, will be opened, and locusts will come up from out the earth. More demons will be released, and we're moving towards that time, which is why we see we see people just shooting, killing, sexing, kidnapping. It's just, it's elevating, it's increasing. The Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, all of them can see what's happening in our society right now. It is elevating, and it is very intense, which is why we need to move into more of understanding how to posture ourselves and deal with this. I want to go to Mark, the first chapter, and the 21st verse, and let's deal with Yeshua, Mashiach, how he handled some of this business. Mark 1 and 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Yeshua went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. You have to pause and understand that you must stand in authority of the scriptures. Some of these brothers are preaching and trying to teach, but there's no authority in their teaching because they are not living or have not lived what they're teaching. The book of James, third chapter and the first verse tells us that all of y'all don't need to be teaching because you don't understand that more judgment is coming your way for trying to step into this office and teaching something you don't even know nothing about or have no firsthand knowledge of. Let me keep it pushing. Verse 23, just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit. Check this out. The demon came to church. just being a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out because he was teaching with such power and authority. It cried out, what do you want with us, Yeshua of Nazareth? You came to destroy us? That was like the man with the legion of demons. The same thing happened. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of Yah. You that Kodesh one. Verse 25. Be quiet, said Yeshua, sternly. Sometimes you got to tell them demons, shut the hell up. Don't interrupt me. Don't bother me, because you're not dealing with flesh. Brothers and sisters, we're not wrestling against flesh. Don't be afraid to hurt somebody's feelings, but also you can be tactful, but you got to talk to the demon in a person sometimes. Mm-hmm. You got to speak to them. Sometimes you got to look straight through a person and tell that demon, get out, shut up, shut it down. And we've seen it many occasions that they'll just cower down, put their head down, because they're being controlled by a demon spirit. Let me finish reading this. Had you to destroy us? I know who you are. Verse 25, be quiet, said Yeshua. Come out of him. Come out of him. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't say, the power of Christ compels you, like the Exorcist movie. He didn't do none of that. Let me tell you what happened. As soon as he said that one time, verse 26, the impure spirit shook the man violently. Seizure, shaking, scared. Shook him violently and came out of him with a shriek, screaming. Verse 27, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what was that? What is this? The people haven't seen this. They don't even know that this is what's going on. People don't want to even believe in demons. You got people with demons that surround you, vexing your spirit. You ever know? They vexing your spirit with these demons. What is this, a new teaching with authority? He even gives orders to demon spirits and they listen to him. This is where we're trying to get to. This is what needs to happen. Let's get a few more. Let's get a few more, and then I'll shut it down. Anybody got some commentary?
Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling, man.
Right. Let's look at. Let's look at. Let's go to Revelations 3:12. Revelations 3:12. I want to encourage you. This is an encouragement scripture. Y'all won't be too over there just scared, like this is creature features or something. Revelations 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yah, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of Yah. I'm getting a tattoo, y'all. I'm going to write upon him the name of Yah and the name of the city of my Yah, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from Yah. And I will write upon him my new name. The first part is my focus of overcoming. What are we striving to overcome? All these demons and gods of this world that are trying us on a daily basis to keep us from this great reward. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the purge. Purging demons from your life and from your family, from your kids, and from those around you. I'm not worried about man's purge and him trying to kill all Hebrews, because they won't be successful as it pertains to the third, because we have divine protection. There's a fence around us, just like the book of Job told us. Satan said, I've been in the earth going to and fro, trying, looking for somebody to destroy. Most High said, if you consider my servant Job, Satan said, I can't get to him because you got a hedge around him. Brothers and sisters, you're protected when you keep the laws. There's a hedge around you. You're protected. You're protected so you can get to Revelations 3:12. I want my tattoo. I want the tattoo of the name of God on me. That's better than an S on your chest. I need you to understand that. You and your family are protected under the laws from all the demons that exist. Satan has told you, these scriptures we read have told you, that on a daily basis they're trying to take you down with the ship. They're trying to take you down with them. They know what their end is. These demons are fallen angels, and they're because they messed up. And now all they want to do is vex us, destroy us, taunt us, and keep us from making it. And we have to tell them, no, that's not going to happen. Because according to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, I'm going to judge you, you fallen demon. You're going to hell. I'm going to judge the angels. I know who I am. I was made in his image. And my duty is to be an ambassador on the earth and purge all of you out of my brothers and sisters and family. I rebuke you in the name of Yeshua. Come out. We have the ability to rebuke death, lay hands on the sick and they recover, cast out demons in his name. We have the ability to go into a city and begin to convert people back to the gospel of Yah, which is the Torah. Because Psalms 19:7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul of man. And the conversion happens when we preach the law and when we rebuke demons. You got to get a no-nonsense mentality. Some brothers think I'm calling them out because I'm saying you're going to have to, if you're going to sojourn with us, you're going to sojourn properly. But if you're going to come over here playing with us and bringing that worldly sin and vexation over to the camp while we're trying to learn these precepts, brother, that ain't going down, because there's a demon on you, and I can smell it. And so this is not playtime, because the book of Ezekiel makes it clear that if I don't tell you, the blood is on my hands. He's going to require it of me. I'm not going to let you mess up my chance to get my tattoo. I'm not going to let you do that, because you come around me and I see you ain't doing right and I don't tell you nothing. That ain't my business. I ain't in it. My name is Bennett and I ain't in it. No, you in it. Most High showed you. And now Most High looking at you like, let me see what you're going to do. You're going to either abide by Isaiah 58 and 1, or you just going to shut up and not say nothing. Because I told you to lift your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. Show them where they're breaking the law at. Don't even compromise. Yes, you know, I'm working on that. Give me some time. I'm working on that. You know, give me some pray for me, brother. I'm one person. You had that overnight. Give me some time, too, right, brother? And I'm not here.
Hey.
Brother, do you want to say something?
No, no, I didn't. No. I'm looking for something.
Okay. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to encourage anyone that has an opportunity to come in on Wednesday. I'm going to do some more exposing of these demons, their names, and some of the things that they were sent to do, why they did what they did. But I want you to understand the strategy exists, why they exist. They come through oppression, depression, social repression. They come from sex. They come from loneliness. They come through. Hold on, brothers and sisters. Keep the faith. Let me go back to Daniel 21 one more time. Let me go to Daniel 21 one more time. When I was talking about how the answer didn't come through for 21 days while he fasted waiting on the answer. Daniel had no idea that there was a fight in the spiritual atmosphere to get the answer through. He just kept fasting and praying and was patiently waiting. Yeah. Most of y'all give up. Day five, you're like, God ain't answering my prayers. Man.
Day five.
And you know what you
do? Day five, day two.
Yeah, even day two. But you know what you do? You immediately take it out of God's hands and you put it in your hands. And you'd be like, I'm going to fix this situation. I'm going to go get some extra money. I got to fix this. You immediately lose your faith. You become carnal and you try to fix it. So y'all backs all the way up. And that's why you're in the situation you're in. Because you don't even believe he heard you, and you not even knowing that up in the atmosphere in the heavenlies, they fighting to bless you. Your job is to maintain and walk with him until it comes. And what are you supposed to be doing while you're waiting? Serving my brothers and sisters, keeping the Shabbat, keeping the holy days, being consistent while I'm waiting. You tell your wife, tell your family, tell your kids, it's coming. Just be patient. I got a feeling that something's getting ready to come. Just be patient. That's how we talk and encourage each other. That's why we get together on the Sabbath. Somebody waiting on an answer right now listening to me, and it might come next week. You about ready to give up today. It ain't the time for it. Go find you some brothers and sisters and, man, pour you some wine, whatever you got to do, and say, man, it's going to be all good. My reward is coming. Don't let the devil get you. Don't let the devil get you. You brothers got any closing comments?
No, you know, just endure. Just endure to the end, man. There ain't no sense in getting this walk and bagging out. If you can't, you ain't got the patience to endure it. So, you know, you got to endure it. Whatever come your way, it was already predestined to happen. And like he say, as long as you keeping the commandments, you will have a hedge of protection around you. But as soon as you step outside of that, you get a devil free reign on you. So, you know, walk in
out
and just endure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's all we can do. You know, just stay with the Most High. I mean, just like you said, Brother V, sometimes we have a tendency to want to give up, but, you know, we have to stay strong. Did you read Revelations 3 and 10? Brother V?
No, I didn't.
Brother V, did you read Revelation 3 and 10?
No, you go ahead and read it.
Okay, it says, because thou hast, this is, you know, your protection for keeping those commandments. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I said, walking after the Most High and keeping His commandments, He will put that hedge of protection around us. I mean, and if we think back, that protection goes back to even before we came into the truth. You know, we in Sunday church or whatever, there's a number of things that happened, and you're wondering, how the heck did I get out of that? And that was that hedge of protection the Most High had.
That's a very good precept. Very good precept. Definitely breaks it down. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That's very good. That's the only reason why you're going to make it through Jacob's trouble. That's the only way you get into the wilderness.
You know, so, and that's another thing. You got to debate whether or not we're in Jacob's trouble. So if we're not in Jacob's trouble. But things I see out there, the way Hebrews are being attacked, the way police are shooting us down, the way these Gentiles are just provoking us, I would think we're in the middle of that now. We're in that now. Well, what do you think, Brother B?
Well, personally, my opinion is just my opinion. Based on what the scripture says, what I'm just going to say is that what you're saying, well, okay, let me focus out. Bottom line is it's going to get worse. And what we're seeing happening to these immigrants and they're ripping mothers from their kids and their children, it's just a test run because you got to go back to what I said. It's a trial run. Satan knows that he can win by default if he eliminates all the Hebrews. And they are thinking like this, too, because they know what Revelations and the end game is and the narrative is. There's 12 gates to the city that the 12 tribes are going to walk in, and there's 144,000 lying dormant. They want to destroy them. They know our book, our history, and the future better than most of you Hebrews know. They study it. They have apologetics, scientists, they go on these reconnaissance missions. They go and do the Raiders of the Lost Ark, pull up our artifacts to confirm it. The CERN was created to try to detract everything that the Most High did with the fallen angels and demons because those are their gods who they worship. They're working on their behalf. So what you're saying is very true because Satan wants to win by default. Is if there's nothing here to come back for, then he won't come back. And we can make this our kingdom. That sounds just like one of them corporate meetings of them heathens and Gentiles, don't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So there is a remnant, and we're the whole purpose of the existence of this world. Light of the earth, salt of the earth, light of the world. It will be utter darkness if we weren't here. So it's going to intensify, and we're seeing a trial run. I'm just waiting to see when this thing is getting ready to flip on us. What they doing to the Latinos and everything, and how they fighting the Asians and everything. I'm just waiting to see how it's going to flip on us. But I'm not worried because of what you read in Revelations 3 and 10. I'm not worried.
Exactly. And like I said earlier, at the beginning, Brother V, we're coming due. I mean, you know, it's playing out, and, you know, this time has come due.
Time has come due. Time has definitely come due. All right, all praises to the Most High. That's my time.
To you?
Yeah, I got to go. They're here for me. But y'all, I live, but y'all, I die. They can take me now.
Sure. Hey, hallelujah.
All the disciples wrote them letters when they was in jail. So, you know, I'm not afraid of nothing, brothers. And, you know, we just have to be ready for what's coming on the earth. So if y'all don't have any closing comments, if y'all don't have any, then I'm good.
I'm good.
Right. Quam Yasha Allah Israel, let's rise. Let's get our purge going. If we get that purge, they try to scare y'all with. Let's purge these demons out. And let's walk in authority and let's walk in patience. And let's just keep the faith, be encouraged. Encourage your brothers and sisters. Tell them, keep going. Keep running. Mm-hmm. Only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Shalom. I'll see you brothers a little bit later on.
He's done away with. You know, my advice to you is just ignore him. You know, keep the Most High first and keep his love. That's what we doing over here. We resting.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
That's what we doing. We chilling on the Sabbath.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
I know y'all go to church on Sunday. Y'all confused.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
We chilling on Saturday. Seventh day of the week.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Rocking sundown, the Sabbath sundown.
Say we're chilling on the Sabbath while everybody's out doing what they want to do. We're reading scripture and singing to the Most High, 'cause we know the law and we keep the Father's holy commandments. So let people say what they want to say, let them mock you for keeping his day. Yeah, we gonna be ready when Christ returns. They be having church on the wrong day, and they despise everything that we say. Yeah, even when we show them in the holy word.
The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and we should always honor the Most High and do exactly what he says, and don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with. You just rest and chill with the Most High, 'cause the Father knows who's here. So you tell, chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Don't call me, I won't even be answering my phone.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say we're chilling on the Lord's Day.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Me and you back though, and you telling this right here.
Now don't look for me on no Sunday at your church no more, 'cause now I keep the holy Saturday. See, I can show you in my Bible, Exodus chapter 20. Just scroll down and look at verse 8
right here.
Verse 8.
The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and we should always honor the Most High.
Honor the Most High.
Exactly what he says, and don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with.
What you do?
You just rest and chill with the Most High, 'cause the Father knows
who's here.
So you tell him, we're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling, y'all.
We're chilling on the Sabbath. Chilling on the Sabbath
and learn some scriptures about our Heavenly Father.
We're chilling on the Sabbath,
'cause the fourth commandment says,
remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and we should always honor the Most High and do exactly what he says, and don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with. Just rest and chill with the Most High, 'cause the Father knows who's here. We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
That's all I wanna do, is just chill with my Father.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
So don't ask me to even go nowhere.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Show them in the
scripture. So you tell them,
we keep the Sabbath. They can come through. Tell them to come through and
read some scriptures about my Heavenly Father.
About our Heavenly Father. To be blessing them.
Ooh.
He's great.
Yes, he
is. Ahaya Bahashim Yeshaya Barak Asa.
That's how we do it when we're keeping the Sabbath.
That's how we're doing it.
Oh,
that's how we do it when we're keeping the Sabbath.
Shalom.